Episode 151, June 30th, 2014.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show. The
Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, this is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Happy 4th of July week, everybody. So when Godzilla comes out, Robbie does a special intro. And when Game of Thrones season finale happens, special intro. And when we celebrate America's independence, not a fucking thing.
He knows what the fans want.
What's up, everybody? We're in separate places again, but this time, Joe, you're at the beach already for this 4th of July week.
I'm very excited to find out that my technical issues, not bandwidth.
It's a bigger problem. Your laptop. Yes.
Well, I just think I probably need to upgrade Skype. And the being easiest. An old man, I don't know how to do it. So we're just going to have to deal with what we got.
You constantly have problems with the easiest things, like not having business cards to give out at your weekend at McGoobies or any show for that matter. We'll get to that. We're going to have a little bit of a shorter show because, as we said, you are vacationing. Robbie is leaving midweek. Is he going down there to join you? Is that right or not?
I'm sorry, who's coming down to join me?
Robbie, is he not going down there or he is?
Yeah, Robbie's coming down, and also right. Show announcer Tim. The only person directly connected with the show that is you. You're not coming. You were just invited, and you said no. You didn't want to come.
You know, it doesn't sound that good to me. You know, you don't really sell it. I don't really like the beach. I'm just driving in traffic.
There'd be no traffic during the week, especially when you are, you know, the middle of the day on a weekday. I think you're fine.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
Why don't you like the beach? Bad body, fair skin. What's your deal?
Well, no. I'd like the beach if there wasn't a lot of people. The whole idea of the beach to me is to sit and relax and look at it's pretty, but if you're surrounded by thousands of people, that's the opposite of relaxing to me.
Well, I was out at the beach today, 2.5 hours, yeah. Totally relaxing, had no issues.
Were there a bunch of people and kids and stuff?
You know what? No, we went right. I mean, there were people, but I mean, we weren't really people kicking sand in our face. I mean, you know, I went down there. It wasn't super hot today, and, you know, threw a little sunscreen on, looked good. I'm tan. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I mean, I have a show July 3rd, Wednesday night, and then I'm working on the weekend, so it doesn't really make sense to go down there. But you know, we used to joke that you'd never invite me, and that's why I didn't go. And now you invite me constantly, and I don't go. So I can't say you don't invite me anymore.
Well, I'm going to compliment some of the names in chat. Of course, SSI scam. I think that's a reference to my day job. There was one about Robbie being a horrible actor, which. You know, I listen back. I do. You know, Robbie, when we were growing up, he was in. Robbie, how many plays were you in? Like 7 or 8?
A bunch.
He was the lead in a bunch of plays. He was the lead in Brigadoon.
This is a great script. It's hard to botch it.
Yeah, and he was so. He was the worst of us three when he read. He's the worst.
Oh, 100%.
And I didn't. I really thought he would step up, but maybe there just weren't a lot of people trying out for these plays. And they just had to do it by default, and they just give him the role.
I'm much better when I pre-read it.
Mm.
Robbie has to rehearse, and see, you didn't know that when he was doing the plays as a kid. Everyone else would just show up and do it, but he would actually memorize it and rehearse it. And, you know, he's a perfectionist, Joe. That's why it takes him 17 hours to edit a 45-minute show.
Yeah, I mean, right now, there's no issues. He could literally go as it is and just upload it. Just okay, hit then, enter.
Here's a bet. Well, let's say that we stop the show right now. That's the show. See you next week, episode 151 in the book.
How long would it take him to get it up?
Yeah, this is Monday night, 7:36 p.m. I say it would be up Wednesday at 8 a.m.
Well, he would need to put in 9 sound effects. It is. Right. I noticed that about the show, like these perfectly timed sound effects make it in there.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a little insincere because that didn't happen during the show.
But that's why the people have to wait an extra day. They don't get it Tuesday morning. They get it Wednesday morning. So at 27 minutes and 42 seconds, they can hear a ding of a bell. That's our producer, the great Rob Robinson. Joe, you do something that's bizarre to me. Is it somehow you give your phone number out to comics? And the last thing I like to do is ever, I don't like talking on the phone, but I hate to talk to comics because they want to talk about comedy and ask questions, and it's just horrible. But you just willingly give your number, and that sort of bit you in the ass this past week.
Well, may I say that the great Mickey Coachella gives his phone number out on stage? So
he's lonely. He wants people to call.
Here's why I get. Let me tell you why I give the number out. First of all, because this I hate running this contest. I think I've made that clear. But I run the contest.
The Baltimore Comedy.
In order, again, it's a bringer show. We've talked about it. And if people don't commit, there's no audience, right?
Right.
So I have to literally talk to people and say, "Listen to me. Here are the rules." You have to commit to this. You can't cancel. I got to do that, but I kind of have to be like, well, now there's some personal, I need to personalize it so they'll do it. So that's why they have my number. And this poor kid, I don't know if he's a poor kid. You bring it on yourself, but he was in one of the first shows, right? One of the early shows, maybe the first, second, or third show.
Right.
So then he calls me during the show, meaning another Thursday, at, you know, 8 o'clock, my phone is ringing. It's him. He's asking me. He's like, "Hey, man, can you give me some work?" I said, "Dude, I'm doing the show that you were on right now. It's every Thursday at the Baltimore Comedy Factory." I'm like, "Can you call me back?" So I guess he was scared after that. So he waited, I guess, to get up the nerve again. And about 2 weeks later, he called again. Now, this is what bugged me. He called me. I was at work. I don't care. I picked up anyway. He called me and he goes, "Hey man, I'm sorry to be calling at this time." And I go, "Well, you called me." He's like, "What?" I go, "Well, you get to choose when you call. Why are you calling and then apologize for when you're calling? Why don't you just call at a time you won't be sorry?" Now, is that bad?
No, but it's when people say that, I think they're just saying that they wanted to call you now, but they realize it's not ideal, but they did it anyways. But you're calling out the people do that. But I wouldn't say that, but you're Joe Robinson. You're a dick.
Well, the problem is that really wasn't the dick thing, because then what he did was he goes, "What?" Like, he needed me to clarify it. And instead of me going, "Just go ahead," I clarified it again. I go, "Listen, you called me at 3 o'clock during the week. That's what you decided to do. You looked at the clock. You said, this is a good time to call. You dialed my number. I picked up, and then you apologized for when you called. What my point is that if you don't think you're calling at a good time, call at a time you think is good. Don't call me and then apologize. It doesn't make any sense. You can call whenever." So I literally laid it all out for him. I think I've got him very, very flustered after that. But then,
good job. Yeah.
And then he said to me, he goes, "Hey, I was wondering if you can get me any paid work." Now, this is a kid. By the way, I don't have a lot of paid work to give. I mean, I don't know who he thinks I am, right? But if I have paid work.
It doesn't matter. If you had 1,000 paid gigs to give or zero, you wouldn't be giving this guy any.
No, of course not. And of course, I don't know what you would have done. I think I do know what you would have done. You probably would have been like, "Hey, I don't really have a lot of opportunity for that, blah, blah, blah." But I don't want to hear from this guy again. So I'm like, "Listen, respectfully, I couldn't kick you paid work, because then I recommend you and then you show up and you do your act and it's not very good. So I can't really do that for you. Now, if you get better, maybe in a year I'll see you and you'll be better and you'll be equipped for me to be somebody to recommend. But right now, I can't do that." Now, you said I was being a dick. I don't think that I was. I think that
No, that's not being a dick. That's being honest. But just to clarify, you won't recommend someone for a comedy show if they're not funny, but you will recommend someone who's not really sick to get Social Security. Is that correct?
No, I do see Eric the Actor nonstop. Like I'm some sort of scam artist. I know.
Eric the Actor is killing it on chat right now. He said, Joe gave out his phone number for two reasons. One, he hates being lonely, loves talking, and two, another a potential SSI scam.
That's right. Anybody who's willing to apply, I'm willing to jump on board.
Good for you, Eric. But basically, this guy, I mean, he's new in comedy. He's not very funny. And he's kind of a delusional. It doesn't matter who he is, but that describes him. And then he made the mistake of asking for your real opinion on his act, which if you're a comic, don't do that. Because if you like someone's comedy, you have already offered and told them that in conversation.
Well, if you already know you're funny, you're not asking my advice or my opinion.
But you also, if someone's funny, you'll go up to the dude, that was hilarious.
You already know I think you're funny if you're funny. Before I describe that, here's what JL Covan, friend of the show, here's what he wrote in chat. He said, Joe, you can either lord over lowly Baltimore comics and expect them to ask for help, or you can be a comics comic and they won't ask. You can't have it both ways. Vice president of Baltimore Comedy Factory Talent Development.
Calling Joe a hypocrite.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Pretty much. Yep.
No, but here's what I said to him. I go, listen, I go, if you want my opinion on what you can do to improve, then I will give it to you. But I learned when I gave Mike Finazzo unsolicited advice that that's not always received very well. Right. So I say, do you want it? And he said he wanted it. So I had to give it to him.
And you told him to basically quit doing every joke he does.
Well, no, he does impressions. And I look, if you're just trying to learn how to get laughs, I don't mind. But he's doing De Niro and Cosby and Walken and Freeman. You know, I mean, he's doing and Schwarzenegger. You know, all the crap.
That's Antonio Freeman, former Green Bay Packers.
that's right. No, and I'm like, listen, I don't know what you want to be, but you're doing very pedestrian impersonations. You're doing them not even as good as I've heard a million other people do them, and they're coupled with not great jokes. Why don't you do something more obscure that people will say, you know, but again, I don't even know if I'm giving him good advice. I don't know that this kid could ever be funny.
Well, it's your fault for having your number so accessible. About a month or so ago on the show Good Word, Big Bird, we told a story about our buddy Kurt Shackelford, who books the Bethesda Hyatt, where you can see Joe 42 times a year on Saturday night, and that he will often get gigs thrown his way from, you know, people looking to hire a comic for various events, birthday parties, retirement parties, whatever the case would be. And this was one where someone was becoming a full colonel, and they wanted someone to show up in a Big Bird outfit and sort of claim that he's the bigger bird in the neighborhood. It was a horrible idea. We mocked it. But this...
I wonder if anybody ever did that. Showed up as the bird.
we should follow up on that, but I'm guessing that's a no. But I think this idea that we heard that was forwarded to us might be worse. Let me just read it. Bride engagement party lunch. Bride and groom's families meet for the first time at a sit-down lunch. Approximately 40 people. Thinking something like interruption during my welcome speech of old friend with gossip knowledge of various family members, leaving attendees bewildered as to what just happened. 10-minute max presentation. Now, a couple things. The Big Bird thing, that had no chance of being funny. No chance of working. But it also didn't really have the train wreck aspect. The worst it could be is just be awkward, and then everyone would have sort of a running gag. Hey, Dave, remember when you had that stupid Big Bird idea? You'd make fun of the guy. And it would grow to be a funny story that they would tell amongst themselves. Now, this could actually work. If done properly, it could be hilarious. But the downside of it is if it doesn't work, the marriage could be over. I mean,
well, I don't think, I mean, that's probably not very likely. But what is super likely is that you are in an extremely awkward situation from about minute one and a half on, And yes. In order to get paid, you want to make sure you do your time. So for 8.5 minutes, you're just there berating various audience members, disclosing things that they don't want disclosed to people that you're pretending that you know. It's possible. Listen, we just did a gig with Justin Schlegel, Drafts and Laughs, where he came out of the back doing a bit, mm-hmm. and they didn't know it was a bit. So as a result, security was literally getting ready to bum rush him and whisk him out. Can you imagine you're going to this? There's only two people in on it or one person in on it. And you show up and you just start shitting all over everybody. They're probably going to yank you up.
Well, that's that. Look, if it's the bachelor party, it's one thing. It's a bunch of dudes. You can kind of take it farther. But you have the families meeting for the first time. You've got the grandmother there, and now you're walking in. Hey, remember that time when you got drunk and did this? I mean, this is definitely the groom's friend's idea. This is not the bride is not going to want any part of this.
No, yeah, you know he didn't clear it with her. It's like, no, hey,
that's
how
why
about
I say it could lead to a fight. I mean, I realize.
Yeah, is this the man I want to marry? Somebody whose right. instincts are this poor?
But that does kind of make me want to do it.
Here's what's interesting is that Robbie, he loves it. He wants it to happen.
Right.
Robbie right now is like, hey, Joe, will you take that gig? I guarantee you Robbie loves this idea because he wouldn't care. He wouldn't. Like Robbie always does this. Like if I'm, we'll talk about this later, but if for some reason I mention the Rob and Joe show on stage, Robbie will clap and yell awkwardly loud and draw right. this weird attention to himself. Like he doesn't know how to just, almost. Right. It's like, oh, I guess this is a horrible show. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this to Robbie, he would do it. Now he doesn't have the aptitude, but he would do it. But I guarantee also he wants me or you to do it so badly. He wants it. By the way, he also wants to be there.
Right.
He doesn't want to hear the story. He wants to watch the crumble. He wants to see it.
Well, again, I just think it's... Look, if it goes well, it's really funny and awesome. But you're entrusting a stranger with this? I mean, I would never do that. Like, yeah, let's say I had you, Joe, show up at like when my parents and Tawana's parents met for the first time and do something wacky. That's one thing, because I know you and I know that you're going to... You'll draw the line. But some stranger? Now, this is the first time the families meet? This is a big deal. This is a wedding. This is important to people. And you're going to show up and just some asshole in the back start yelling, making a fool of himself, and then no one knows what to do? It just sounds like a horrible idea. But I'm intrigued by it.
When you do various gossip that you know about these audience members, is it real gossip that somebody gives you? Like, oh, yeah, Aunt Jane's an alcoholic.
Right.
He has Uncle Tim has a statutory rape charge. Like, what? Or are they made up? Which is also horrible. They're both horrible. This whole scenario is just, but Kurt does the right thing. It's not really his Kurt Shackelford, the guy who sent it. It's not his job to start interpreting, oh, no, let me inject some comedic value into this.
Right.
No, I mean, this is what they're asking to get done. He sends it out to his comics. And by the way, there's some people that could probably pull this off. Like a Rory Scovel or a Justin or a John Muma, probably even you.
People that don't need the money except for me. Yeah.
Right. They could probably pull it off. But yeah, I couldn't because I'd be too uncomfortable at the get.
Yeah. I mean, he says 10 minutes max. You know how long 10 minutes is if it's awkward?
Oh, my God. That's what I was saying. If you're a minute and a half in and, you're hearing pins drop all over the place and then you got to do 8.5 more. Have you ever sat in silence for 10 seconds? It's an eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, I want someone. That's why I'm tempted to actually respond just to fill this out. It's at a nice restaurant in Georgetown, Sequoia. I mean, it's upscale. It's not in some Applebee's where you can just say fuck and no one looks because it's Applebee's. But I'm not going to do it. I don't want to ruin someone's life. But I'm tempted, though. God, I wish someone would do it, though. I would do it if someone else did it. And, like, I was in on it also. I don't know.
Well, there's an amount of money I'll do it for.
What's the amount?
I mean, mine, and this has nothing to do with how much money we have or make, but mine is... higher than yours because my desire to not want to feel uncomfortable is much greater than yours.
Well, yeah, I'm wanting $500, but you felt really uncomfortable this past week at Magoobies because for the first time, I think, and I've ever seen you at a real club, you didn't do your closer.
Actually, I didn't
do
my closer.
You did not do it on purpose.
Yeah, I didn't do my closer on the first show the first day either.
Oh, I wish I'd seen
and,
that.
I yeah, and it's funny, my two best sets, I didn't do my closer. But you came to the second show on the second day, so Saturday at 4 and 9:45. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I had a good week, but I only had two crushes, and I think you saw one. I mean, I had a really good set.
Yes.
And I hadn't even got anywhere near in my material, right? But because the show was running late, Andrew Unger, the owner of the of Magoobie, said, hey, just do 20. I said, no problem. So they lit me at 15. So I finished the joke that I was doing. And, of course, in my closer, I always go, oh, I got the light already. I got to get out of here. You know, and I do this thing like I don't want to leave. That's my thing, right? So I go, oh, I got the light already. I got to get out of here. And all of a sudden, boom, the music comes up and they whisk me off stage. Now, I have another 2 minutes to go, which my closer is about 2 minutes long. I'm going to do my time. And all of a sudden, I don't know how to say her last name, but I really liked her. Alahi was the
Alahi Azadi's MC. Right. She's a journalist. She's on MSNBC all the time doing political stuff. She's very funny.
She just got hired by the Washington Post. Anyway, yeah. So she comes up and we're looking at each other like, what the hell? Now, I just think she's looking at me because she knows that I just got awkwardly removed from the stage, right?
Right.
But she's looking at me because the headliner just goes, hey, he's got a couple more minutes. I'm going to go to the bathroom. So the headliner, right, Michael Che, he's really funny, by the way. He's in the bathroom, and now she's got to do a joke. And she does some joke. I can't remember what she did. I think it was a joke about the comment cards or whatever. And then she gets off stage. Now, she's all apologetic for doing time after me, right? Like, oh, I wasn't, you know, I'm sorry. Like, I don't care. You can do another 10 minutes. There's no other, I'm not upset with you. I'm upset with my boy Justin Jones, who's running the sound, who
F
just
you,
kicked
Justin
on the music.
Jones.
I mean,
he
by the way,
to this show, so we can.
Justin is a comic. Right. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going on.
Maybe, Joe, that he had to sit through your closer a bunch of times. And he just knew, if I could just play AC/DC, I could save myself and the crowd from this horrible paper plate closer that you wrote 17 years ago.
JL says in chat, Joe not doing his closer breaks the longest streak since Cal Ripken.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Patrick Melton, the Ina Dukie drama that, of course, once again, I'm in the middle of it. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Rob.
This is Joe.
That's an awful start. We're doing an ad on our own damn show. How pathetic is that? We need help in the social media world. Give us some likes. So for example, on iTunes, go on there, give us 5 stars.
Yeah, we have to get 5 stars because Dan Ninen is going in with multiple personalities. He has them in real life and then also in the social world, giving us 1 star.
Yeah, so we need that to conquer that psycho. And also subscribe to the show and give us a review possibly on iTunes.
Also, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Joe M. Robinson. Be one of my 7 followers. Rob is at Rob Mayer. And most importantly, follow us at Rob and Joe Show.
Producer Robbie has a Twitter, but we don't really care about him. Same thing with Stitcher. Give us a thumbs up. You can share it to your Twitter followers and Facebook people. And add us to your favorites playlist. That helps our ranking. Same thing with Podbean. Subscribe. Give us good comments. All that stuff helps us and helps the show.
Also, check out our YouTube channel, Rob Joe Show. All the highlights from each week. How many shows we had? 700? All 700 highlights.
It just seems that way.
Check it out. Give us a thumbs up. We've bumped Cars for Kids to do this.
Yes. They're very upset. We appreciate all support.
Thanks for listening.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
You guys got to check out Michael Che. He was your headliner. That's Che, spelled C-H-E. He's a writer on SNL. He's now on The Daily Show. Very funny, very cool guy.
Super cool, yeah. That's the second time I worked with him. And, he was one of these guys. He remembered me immediately, which I always like. Because, you know, I mean, he's headlining somewhere probably every weekend or whatever. And, it's the second time I got to work with him. And I probably won't work with him again. He'll be doing arenas soon.
He'll be too big, yeah. Well, it was funny. I'd never seen this happen exactly like it did. You know, if anyone's seen your show or listens to the show, they know that you do a lot of crowd work. And in that late show, the final show of the weekend, the one where you got off stage abruptly, there was a woman in the front that had her foot up on the stage, and I guess she had some sort of bandage on her foot. And you were talking about that, and it turns out that the husband had dropped her by accident, trying to carry her into the bedroom or something romantic, and that you were making fun of that, and then it had happened on Thanksgiving, and you're like, go to the doctor, why have you got it? And you had a lot of laughs off it. Well, fast forward to his set, and about halfway through it, he says, hey, what do you got? What's wrong with your leg? And everyone starts laughing, because everything that you had talked about, he started to talk about. And he would ask them a question, and the crowd would answer. They've been together 31 years. They knew everything. And it was sort of like he covered a lot of the same material, the ground that you did, but because it already happened, it made it even funnier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's strange because normally I always watch somebody who does crowd work because I don't want to do the same crowd work.
Right.
But that ends up, maybe that's a mistake. Maybe I should literally do the exact same crowd work.
Because it was so funny, because he was like, I feel like everyone knows this story, and I don't. And every time he'd ask them a question, someone in the crowd would yell, you know, they have two kids. They just, because I guess they did a good job of remembering your crowd work. But Michael Che, check him out. Super awesome guy. Very, very, very funny.
In chat, real quick, Eric the Actor says, Joe's the only person in DC comedy that worships Kurt Shackelford. And then JL suggests that the new theme song should be Love Shack with the lyrics changed about me loving Kurt Shackelford. So,
Robbie, get on that. You know that we could have a Love Shack tribute to Kurt Shackelford. That is a good idea. We could get people in on that. Kurt is an interesting guy, but we need to get him on the show. We've been talking about that.
Oh, he wants to do the show. He does.
Dying to do the show.
He'd be good because Kurt is an awkward guy with a lot of quirks.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think he'd
be speaking of awkward guys, Scott Apple, we can announce this, that his sister, the sex therapist, is booked, correct?
Yes, she is.
What's
the
date?
She will be on the show.
She will be on the show, I believe it will be August 18th, I believe.
Can we do this, Joe? Is this allowed? Can we give her sexual situations that she might come across as a therapist? Every situation we'll give her are ones that Scott Apple has had problems with, that he's told us. But we won't say that it's her brother.
No.
So let's say that this happened.
Yeah, I don't think I'm at liberty to. There's some things that he tells me that can't make it onto the show.
Well, we're never going to say that it's him.
Yeah, but we're just saying it now.
Well, we're going to say it's a listener wrote this in.
Okay, a listener wrote this in. And I'm 5'5" and I'm Jewish. And I'm in my first relationship and I'm 31 years old.
We don't have to be, we can be a little more coy than that. Robbie, that's a good idea, right?
And my name is Steve Cherry.
It's a funny bit.
Okay. Well, we're going to do it then. 2 out of 3. That wins. Michael Chamberlain has Blame the Victim, the script that I wrote with comic legends Andy Klein, Chad Heft, and Mike Payne. He has it. He will be on the air next Monday.
He's reading it feverishly.
Is he really? I mean, I know him. I have a feeling he's not going to read it.
You better read it.
If he doesn't read it, Robbie's not allowed on if he doesn't read it.
if he gets 5 pages in and can't stand it, you don't want to hear that?
No, nah, I guess I do.
He's got to plow through.
5 pages in is a joke. If he gets 5 pages in and can't read it, that's ridiculous. And it's only 90 pages long. I mean, how bad could it be? I mean, Rob, Andy Klein, and Mike Payne wrote it. And then, of course, Chad Heft. Maybe he, I don't know if he ruined it or whatever. But no, I'm just kidding. No, but I mean, there's gifted comics that wrote this. I got to imagine it's a little smart, but you know, I mean, I'm not going to read it, but he can't read it. That's what he does for a living. Doesn't he read scripts?
He does. No, I think he's
going to. I want him to read it, and then I want him to decide to do this as a play. That's my goal, that we will do Blame the Victim off Broadway. So that's, you know, we got to dream big, you know. What's more likely to happen? Blame the Victim gets made in any form, or The Regulars gets on TV in anything?
Yeah, I mean, if he likes Blame the... I mean, let me ask you this. It's written as a screenplay, though, right?
Correct. We can adapt Could it be a
play?
We're very talented. You know, there's not a lot of special effects. We can make it into a play. We can make it work somehow, yeah.
I just saw a play...
There's a car chase, but yeah.
This past week... It was called A Hero's Tale, and it was written. Do you know comedian Greg Poole? He's been around a long time.
I do know the judge.
That is he wrote a, his wife wrote a play, and he starred in it, and it also starred a friend of the show, Todd Leatherberry.
Wow.
And I know he enjoyed his role because he got to say the N-word about 7 times.
It's a natural.
Yeah. Mickey came across as very convincing.
The Tiffany Baker could have got that role too. So last week we touched on at the end of the show that our buddy Patrick Melton from the Nobody Likes Onions podcast, very successful and funny podcast, friend of the show. He was in town in D.C. this past last weekend, 2 weekends ago now, I guess. And we couldn't hook up with him because I was moving and, you know, this things happened. But I had gotten him a show at the Arlington Draft House, a room at the in the Green Room Lounge that's run by the aforementioned Andy Klein and Randolph Terrence. And on that show, he had a little bit of an incident with another comedian. And in my attempts to piece together who that was and get to the bottom of that, I figured out that it was another friend of mine, Ion and Dookie, very funny and good friend of mine. And in my attempts to, you know, squash this, I talked to her and talked to him and said her side and then back and forth. But in my attempts to do that, I suppose then I did give him her name. At which point he decided to go and look her up all online and Facebook and her blogs and Twitter and stuff, and then decide to make her the centerpiece of his podcast, which he is known to do.
Your shit for shit.
Yes. And he likes to play these things up. And I told her once that I got wind of this that she should just ignore it because it'll go away. And not feed into it, which I realize is easier said than done when you're not the one being attacked. But she wasn't able to do that. And at one point in the week, she said that we're no longer friends, and it got pretty ugly. I think I've smoothed that over, but now there's another episode. Are you
friends again?
I mean, she's definitely mad at me, but there was a point where I believe that she wanted me to lose her number, like you wanted that guy to call you to lose your number.
You really can't do that. It's programmed in your phone.
Well, I can delete it. Lose it. I don't have to memorize. Yeah. You can't delete a number, Joe. That's what you're saying?
That's a lot different than losing it.
Okay. But look, I feel bad because this is the second time that I have accidentally introduced someone to Patrick Melton, Cliff Cash, 9 months ago, and then he no longer wants to talk to me. And so it's the Patrick Melton curse for people that I know.
Well, this is a much bigger deal than the last one because this is actually a personal friend of yours.
Right, a real friend, not just someone I just met. And Cliff, this is someone I've known for years. But it'll get smoothed over. But I'm hoping that she will understand that.
Can I ask this?
Yes.
What is she, why is she mad at you? What does she think your role is in it?
I am the one that did give him her name, but I gave him her name, not at all. Oh, this is the girl that did it. You got to. I got it because that's my friend, and this is what happened. I was really trying to squash it, and I didn't. I guess I didn't fast forward to the end of this movie and saw how this might end.
Well, I actually thought I gave him the name because I remember he said it started with an A, and I remember seeing on her Facebook that she was going to be at the Arlington Draft House, and I said, yeah, I think it was Ayanna Dookie, and then I said, do you ask her what happened? Right. Right. We just wanted to hear both sides. That's all. You have a lot less to do with it than I do. I mean, you really just said, hey, what happened? And then I was the one that said to Patrick, I said, no, she said you ran over, and that's what she said happened. So well, yeah, you have no reason for anybody to be upset with you.
That's my point. That's what I keep trying to say. And then I got Randolph calling me because he runs the room. What happened? Or his side of the story and this. It's like, I'm not interested enough to go to talk about this that long. But it keeps growing. And I told her, I want to tell her, just it's not the end of the world if someone hates you just because they're talking about you. It's not a bad thing. There are people. He has a lot.
I don't know. It's pretty bad, I think.
No, it's not, Joe. Like,
well, I mean,
how many people listen to the Mike O'Mara show because they hate it?
No, I
you realize if
that.
They went on there to bash Joe Robinson, that you would gain fans because of that. Because the people that don't like the Mike O'Mara show that listen every week, every day to bash it would say, oh, they're bashing Joe Schmo. Well, let me look at, oh, he's funny. F you guys. So there are people that listen to Nobody Likes Onions that probably hate Patrick Melton. And there are people that listen that are going to say, you know what? I'm listening. I go to Ayana's blogs and I'm reading them and I'm looking at her comedy. And I kind of like her. She's funny. They're going to take her side. Anytime people see your content that you're putting out there, it's a good thing. It's not being doctored. This is it. He's playing it. He's commenting on it. He doesn't like it. It doesn't mean that you can't like it. Years ago when we had that gig where there was that horrible stripper in the audience, right, and she had looked like she had skin cancer.
Right.
And I made fun of her. And afterwards, she gave me her business card. Then I wrote a blog about it because on the card, she had a link to the website for the strip club that she works and had this awful picture of her topless and her breasts. They were so fake and far apart and just hideous looking. Like, if those are the only breasts you ever saw, you wouldn't be a breast guy. You would not like breasts.
You'd think this was good for her career? Am I allowed to elaborate on what you're saying?
I don't. Owner, hold on. The strip club owner threatened to sue me because she was kept getting all these hits from my blog to their website. And I'm like, no, this is your picture that you put up to promote your club. So if someone, now, in Ayana's defense, she doesn't have, her jokes aren't bad like this woman's breasts are bad, but just because someone doesn't like him or like her jokes or like her blog or like her doesn't mean that that person telling people to go check out and consume her product doesn't mean it's a negative for her. Does that make sense?
No, what you're saying makes sense. I happen to not agree, but I don't want to elaborate because you're going to get mad at me.
Well, how is that wrong, Joe? You know how Dan Ninen has a million friggin' views on YouTube? Because 990,000 people are like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. You've got to watch this. And then the numbers grow. That's why it's so popular, because it's so bad. But that helps him.
So Patrick Melton just had a two-hour podcast which was dedicated to nothing but slamming her. And again, this is just agree to disagree. I don't think that people are going to listen to that show and be like, wow, let me check out to see if there's any merit in this. Even if it's one-sided, even if Patrick is dead wrong in everything that he's saying, anybody that's going to listen that deeply is only going to say, all right, that's good. That's ammunition for me to think this person has no merit. Now, if they then go out and find her comedy and go, wow, she's really funny, maybe. I don't think that that's really going to happen, but
that's not possible. Not one person will think that.
No. I'm not saying that one person.
Well, then that's one more fan that she had a week ago.
I can't. I don't want to elaborate. You're going to get upset with me.
Well, how am I being, Robbie? How is that wrong?
Okay. So we discussed.
Joe, Robbie, how is that wrong? What I just
I'm going to defer to Joe.
Okay.
Look, we've discussed in private before. You haven't. I have. That I always thought that there was some danger in the way that she even posted on Facebook and the way that she did her material because she demeans people. She always put herself above people. I'm sorry, but that happened, and I discussed that with you. You never said that. That was never anything that I... By the way, I don't know, is that talking about somebody behind their back? People are allowed to critique my comedy. But I was like, that's really a bad approach to say, guys are always hitting on me, I'm pushing them off, they're beneath me. I always thought that was bad. And now she's being exposed for that publicly. I don't know that she deserves it. I'm not saying that she does. I don't know what happened at the show. I don't know if she really called him fat or she really called him white boy. By the way, if she did, then he's allowed to respond that way. That's a fact. If she did that. If she didn't, yeah, this is over the top. But the things that he's being critical of her about, I've mentioned it before. I don't see how that's going to be helpful, because what's going to happen is people are going to say, okay, he's saying that these are jokes that say, hey, I'm in an orgy and everybody else is uglier than me. That might be a hilarious joke, but it's still, like, you and I'm not saying our comedy's better than hers, but we make sure that we don't necessarily talk down. We're men of the people. We try to say, hey, you're one of us. Here's what I can't do. I can't get laid. Okay. I can't do this. I'm broke. And we do those things.
But and now she also talks about having sex with ugly people and making horrible sexual decisions. So she's making, I mean, the whole,
I'm not saying she that every joke is like act, this. I'm saying that I've noticed it on Facebook. I have, and I've said something to you about it. I go, that's probably not good, you know, because that really kind of turns people off to you. I've said that. Again, I like Ayana. It's not really a matter of that, but I have said that, and now somebody noticed that. And okay, is but saying
even that.
That
is good, to have that specific of a persona to be noticed online in this sea of friggin' blah on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, the thing is that we're going to know. You know, I mean, we can argue about it, but the truth is that either this is going to help her or it's not. And if it helps her, great. By the way, if it helps her, good.
What's not helping her, because it's bothering her. It's bothering her.
Well, yeah, I mean, it might not be helping her personally, but if it helps her career, yeah, awesome.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, me too. All right, good. I hope it helps her too.
All right. check this out. My buddy, you know him, Donnie Singstack. He's he's a stuttering comedian. He literally stutters. He has a stuttering problem, real disability. And he's a young kid, 19, goes to the University of Maryland, Joe. And he's funny. He doesn't just do jokes about him stuttering. He has an actual act of funny, smart jokes. I like him. He's funny. He's the audience pulls for him. He's very likable. You root for him. Has very boyish, innocent baby face. So he even comes across younger than he is. Anyway, he's doing a show this coming Thursday in D.C. for the National Stuttering Association. Some big stuttering conference. So
that's awesome.
That is awesome. Washington Post is interviewing him. I mean, it's a big deal. But I'm talking to him last night, and I'm like, he's concerned that, are they going to not want him to make fun of the stuttering? Because it's a different audience. Because it's bizarre. Well, have they heard these jokes their whole life?
It's almost like I'm allowed to talk about my family, but you're not. I hope he is, right? I hope he is. I mean, they're bringing a comic in there. I'm imagining these people are going to be able to laugh at themselves. And if anybody can make a joke about stuttering, then it's going to be him. You know, when I talk, actually, this is funny because Alahi said this to me, that she has a joke that's hilarious. It's what if Stevie Wonder isn't blind? I'm not going to do it justice. It's a very, very long joke and it's hilarious. But she said one time there was a blind person in the audience and she didn't tell the joke. And she said, and she's right, the reason that she didn't tell it wasn't because of the blind guy. Right. It was because of everybody else.
Right.
Because they would be the ones that would be uncomfortable. If everybody in there stutters, nobody's going to be uncomfortable. But if
it's
everybody,
not that they're uncomfortable, it's that, are they going to think that the joke is that funny when they may have already had that joke, that thought in their mind, because they've lived with this their whole life, so they know how people react.
I think that's even just, what do you laugh the most at? That which you can relate to. Or that's what audiences laugh the most at. They laugh the most at the things that they can relate to. So I'll bet he destroys. Plus, first of all, he's endearing anyway, because he's like, what is he, like 18 years old?
Yeah,
he looks like he's 15, and he stutters. He's got a baby face. He can't grow facial hair yet. I mean, he's already endearing. He's one of them. I'll bet he crushes.
The other thing, though, is he's worried about is that there's another act on the show. It's somebody that had just given some commencement speech at some university and just brought the house down. You don't want to follow that guy.
No.
You don't want to follow the uplifting. And then the other thing is, I didn't know this, but you don't stutter when you do an impression or when you sing. But he'll stutter if he does an accent. I don't know why that is.
That is weird.
You sing fine. And I've heard him do an impression, like quoting a movie or something, and it's fine. And then he'll just talk about it. He'll set the joke up with a stutter, and then, you know, these pretzels were making me thirsty. But if he just said these, he couldn't do it, which is bizarre to me.
Well, by the way, even if he did impressions, I want to make sure that the audience knows that's not who I was talking about earlier.
No.
Who did the bad impressions. That was somebody completely different.
Can you imagine, though, and I told him, I don't know if this would be funny if you could use this as a joke. Can you imagine having to sign people up with that stuttering seminar when they're checking in? How long that's going to take?
What's your name?
just write it down. Anything else we wanted? I know it's a short show tonight. Oh, yeah, Joe. You do four shows at McGoobies, the You Crush. Not one mention on stage. Listen to our podcast, robinjoshow.com. Then when you're off stage, the show's over, you're meeting people, you're saying goodbye. Not one single business card do you own to give them to these people, to point them to our website, to point them to our podcast. How can you not do the basic shit?
I'm the worst. I know. I was thinking about that when I was, because every once in a while I'll catch fire and I'll send out like 7 tweets in a day.
Right.
And then over the next 7 months, I'll send out 7 more.
Yeah.
And I apologize. I mean, there's no excuse. I am a busy guy, but I should have business cards. I should mention the podcast, especially when I crush the first show. No exaggeration. Katie was there. I had my picture taken with probably like 15 different people that wanted to get their picture taken with me. By the way, if you're listening to this, I'm nobody. Please stop doing that. If you get your picture taken with me, about, I don't know, 30 days, you're just going to delete it out of your phone. I'm not an important
person.
Have
them put it on Facebook and tag you. That's when you give them your card, and now you're Facebook friends. Now you have the picture. You put it up on your photo album on Facebook. You start cross-promoting. You mention the podcast. like everything to do with the show, you pretty much suck at, except for actually being on the show. You're great at doing the podcast, but it's all the other stuff. You failing miserably.
JL says in chat, Joe doesn't want to promote the podcast. He would rather direct them to Bringers for his cut at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Hashtag company man. Between yep. between JL with my hatred for local comedy and Eric the actor with me wanting to bilk the system, SSI system, out of their hard-earned dollars.
Right.
It's very difficult. I might have to turn off chat like you guys.
You might have to. I stopped reading a year ago.
No, I need to do a better job at that. I apologize. By the way, I was whisked off stage, so you don't know if I would have promoted the podcast. You don't know. Now, you do know I don't have business cards, and I, you know what? I'm committing right now, since now we know it's not a bandwidth issue, and I don't have to do that anymore, I make a commitment right now to get business cards.
Okay. Can you help him with that, Robbie? Need some graphics or something?
Robbie's not listening to the show.
I said, of course.
Hey, did we called Antoine Dotson last week. Real quick, did he respond in any way?
They have not reached out to me. I think he's looking for a payday now to do shows.
Well, we got
how much money do we have in our in the Robin Joe Show bank account, Robbie?
We're in debt.
We can afford him the gig about the bride and groom, the marriage party. That would be awesome. They raping nobody. I guess that's the show, right? We're done.
Yeah, we're doing an abbreviated show, Robbie. You can play the music, Robbie. Robbie went off on you, actually, in production. Because, as you know, by the way, this show went flawlessly. What he can do is just put it up. He wouldn't really need to edit this. But
it'll still take forever.
It'll still take, right. It'll still take 10 years to edit it. Take out every pop and whistle, whatever he needs. By the way, just put it right up. It'd be fine. But you suggested, hey, just put it up. And you were in big trouble when you did that. So stop doing that because, Robbie, you know, I can't take it.
Joe, we've been bashing you the whole show. Let's just keep doing that. That's not true. Hey, our numbers, by the way, have never been better. Lots of downloads over the last few weeks, highest they've ever been. So thank you. Definitely getting a lot of love from all the Mike O'Mara Show people. So it's been great being able to go on TMS a couple times here, and that's going to continue. We're going to keep doing promos and going on there hopefully once a month or so, and that'll keep pushing it up. So thank you for all the love, and you know the deal. Stitcher, follow us on Twitter, add us to your playlist on Stitcher, subscribe on iTunes, and download the app. Again, it's on Android or on your iPhone. It's the Mike O'Mara Show app. It has all of the More Network shows, and you know what to do. There's a lot of ways to listen. The important thing is just keep listening. And Miggity Mac, he keeps tweeting out highlights from previous shows.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Because some of the things that he likes are some of the stuff we need to distance ourselves from. And, of course, then Robbie, he feels so vindicated.
It's a new life for these things.
Yeah. But it is kind of cool to walk down memory lane. But I'm at the beach. If anybody wants to, I'm not going to give out. I should just give out my phone number, right?
Everybody has it. So. Yeah. If you've done comedy,
if you're a friend of
mine,
I'll be at the beach all week. And I'm just here with my parents and my kids until Robbie gets here and show announcer Tim gets here. So.
And Robbie is bringing the girlfriend, correct, Robbie?
I am.
So she's going to meet the family for the first time.
That's correct.
Oh, my God. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week. Catch up on the beach. Mike Chamberlain will be in to review the fabulous screenplay, Blame the Victim. Happy 4th of July, everyone. See ya.
See ya.
The preceding program was brought to you by More Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.